Brass and DC, the sideline sports show. Fort Wayne to the world. Bryce got the box score, calm on the mic. Pulling up numbers from last Friday night. Stack gyms packed, rivalries loud. He'll tell you who balled out, who hyped the crowd. DC slide in with the hold up weight. Spicy little rant, that's a hot take plate. Coach talk, Pacers talk, all in the mix. Midwest mind with that ESPN fix. Sideline Sports Show, Bryce in D.C. From the Fort Wayne courts to the big TV. Indiana Hoosiers dreams, go to go scenes. Whole Midwest running through the calling stream. Sideline Sports Show, you know that vibe. Stats and smoke in a four-quarter ride. Turn it up loud when the game day starts. They break it all down like they call in charge.
Oh, welcome into the Sideline Sports Show with Bryce in D.C. I'm Bryce Vance, that's T.C. Hendricks here on a beautiful Sunday morning. So glad for you to join us here live on our Facebook page, YouTube, and D.C.'s X page as well. We got a lot to get to because we didn't have a show last week. We had some technical difficulties with our streaming platform and weren't able to do a show. So, it was all right. It was Mother's Day anyway. Yeah, it's all right. It was Mother's Day, so we got to spend some time with the mothers. So, it was all right. It was a okay day to not have a show. But we are back, and we have tons to talk about since we did not have a show last week. Since we've been gone, the IHSA has passed some things. DC has been busy out and about this week out at some high school baseball. He was out at a camp yesterday featuring one of the local players who is doing great things in college. We'll get to that. The NFL schedule was released, so we'll talk a little Colts here and talk about how many wins this team can realistically have in 2026. And by looking at the schedule, not many, in my opinion. Also,
we'll see about that.
The NCAA has expanded the men's and women's basketball tournament from 68 to 76. We'll talk about that. College football playoff expanding again? Hopefully not. We'll talk about that as well. And then locally, we've had the Comets and Fort Wayne FC in action this weekend, and we'll touch on those as well. But we wanted to also bring on Taylor baseball coach Kyle Gould. Is it Gould or Gold? Do you know, DC? You've chatted with him. I'm trying to think if it's Gould. Yeah. So we'll have him on at 11:40 to talk about the Trojans making their way to the NAIA World Series for the second time in 4 years. A lot of local flavor on that team, especially some guys from Blackhawk, Leo, Carroll, Columbia City. There's a ton of guys, and I know you did on a 260 Dugout. You've interviewed a couple of those players on the Taylor baseball team, and they're making their way to the World Series, like I said, for the second time in 4 years, third time in program history. And Coach Gould has done a great job with that program. And we'll talk to Coach Gould here in a little bit. DC, how are we doing this morning, buddy?
What up, man? Good. I'm exhausted. So not gonna lie. It was a long week, very busy week, doing all kinds of stuff. Almost went to two baseball games. I was supposed to go to one yesterday before the Tay-Tay Johnson camp. I was supposed to go to Huntington North Carroll. I've got to see Huntington North all year, and they're the NEA champion. I haven't got to see them all year. I followed them on Game Changer, and I've got to watch games on Game Changer because I follow, like, every area team on Game Changer. So that's my way of following everybody and covering them. I was supposed to go to that yesterday, but I did go to DeKalb earlier this week. Got to see Norwell DeKalb, which was a fantastic game. Literally went down to the final pitch. Got all kinds of footage and good videos from that game. Great environment over in Waterloo. Went to Tay-Tay's camp yesterday. Had a wrestling show last night here in Fort Wayne that I had to go to. Goodness. So, yeah, it's been a busy week. I'm exhausted today, to be honest.
Yeah, I will say, like, going to a game at DeKalb and covering a game at DeKalb, I really like the setup there with the press box on top of the dugout. It's always an advantage, and I loved covering games there when I worked for the newspaper in Auburn. I always loved covering games there because it was just so easy to take photos, so easy to just watch the game. You don't have to be in the press box because there's one little area, like a little porch kind of area. It's a great area to cover a game. For a high school baseball game, probably one of the best in the area. Just ease of access and using a camera and getting footage, like you said. I don't think there's really any other setup like that in the area. So it's a great place to catch a game for sure. And the team is obviously performing really well as they usually do up in Waterloo.
One conference loss this year, and it was to Huntington North, who was the NEA champion. So
yeah, NEA's been pretty good this year, man.
Better than the SAC.
Yeah, I mean,
Dwinger's taking the SAC. I think they're undefeated. I don't think anyone's in the SAC has beaten Dwinger. They beat Homestead too. So, NEA is definitely more loaded than the SAC. It's a little bit of a drop off in the SAC, admittedly. Like after Dwinger, Homestead, Carroll, little bit of a drop off, and you go to north of Southside. But Southside just beat Snyder this week.
I saw that. I don't
know if you've seen that. Great game. Donovan French went the whole way on the mound for Southside and represented the Archers. Let's go all day. Still represent my Archers, baby. I should have won my Archers hat. So tons of high school baseball this past week as well. But yeah, I would say the biggest highlight of the week was Tay-Tay Johnson camp yesterday. That was crazy. A lot of talent out there that I wasn't expecting to be out there. It's been a busy week for me, man.
Yeah, let's start there. Let's talk about that, the camp, and we knew it was coming because we've talked about it before and it's been publicized a little bit. But what were some of the names you saw out there? I believe you got to see quite a few guys out there. From the area that have been blowing up recently, and a lot of names that were, out there to showcase themselves. And I imagine, just seeing Tay-Tay and a couple of other people that were showing up for that camp as well were good to see as well.
Yeah, the biggest name to show up there, which wasn't a huge surprise because it's his school, but it was a surprise because he's offered by, like, pretty much everyone. I was a little shocked that Malik Moore was there, but it was awesome to see that, him representing his school at Northside being there for that camp. That was awesome seeing Malik Moore there. Obviously, he stood out as, a top performer. Malik is just – he's next level. I also got a chance to see Northside's new quarterback in action, who looked really good as well. Brandon Sanders will be taking the snaps for Northside next year as Jaden Rivers graduates. And Brandon Sanders is the real deal as well. It's gonna be some fun going on at Northside High School this year, I think, in high school football. So was able to get, a good look at them. But the people that stole the show for me weren't even from here.
Okay.
It was a group of twins from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen and Jordan Manns.
Okay,
so Jalen Manns, they're from Paulding High School in Paulding, Ohio. Look them up. They stole the show, okay? Jalen is coming off a player of the year where he's from in the entire area. So he stood out as a performer. Like, you can tell just by looking at him. Like, he stood out just by eyes and build. didn't look like a high school kid, but yeah.
Yeah.
He 130 tackles as a safety for Paulding High School, and his brother as well, good on the offensive side of the ball. So those two twins, Jalen Manns and Jordan Manns, M-A-N-Z, really solid kids. Now, they're not from here in our area, but I thought it was super cool that they, made that trip. They drove like 50 minutes to make this camp and showcase their abilities for Tay-Tay Johnson and the rest of the other players that were there. Brock Shaw, Mylon Graham was there, obviously. So tons of talent, but those twins stood out to me the most. Obviously Malik is going to do what Malik's going to do, but those two twins stood out to me, as, guys that they stole the show. They were just, everybody had their eyeballs on them.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there any, coaches out there? Like, college, or I don't know what the whole setup was.
So there were some scouts out there. I didn't see any college coaches.
Okay.
But there were some scouts there. Like I think 24/7 Sports was there.
Okay.
I think they're rivals, aren't they? Isn't that the same thing?
No, I think they're
I thought different. I seen a guy with rivals.
Okay.
There as well. So a couple of scouting people that were there. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like I didn't see Tom Loy or nothing like that. I didn't see mm-hmm. Alan Trey. I didn't see those guys out there, but I seen like the vests. They had like, you know, vests on with the logos on it. So there were definitely scouting reporters there, but there was no college coaches. There was a plethora of high school coaches that were there. Like I know Northrop staff was there, mm-hmm. Northrop's football coaches, some of them, obviously Northside coaches, BJ was there. Yeah. And obviously the high school coach from Paulding High School, that's how I found out about the boys.
Yeah.
Cause I was getting ready to leave actually. Because I had another event to go to, and I, you know, was saying bye to Dre Muhammad, who runs Traction and was part of the committee that put on the camp. I was going to leave, so I was saying bye to him, and he's like, hold on. He's like, you talked to him yet? And he's talking about the coach from Paulding High School. We had already met earlier, but, you know, he was making sure that I knew that I didn't know he was there for the Twins. I didn't know that. I didn't put that to him. So, yeah, he wanted to make sure I got to know about these Twins before I left. So that's how I found out about the Twins from Paulding High School over in Paulding, Ohio. So good vibes, man. I'm excited. I can go ahead and say it on here. It's fine. Here soon we're going to be joined by Tay-Tay Johnson and Mylon Graham on the show. So already set up and ready to go. I'm excited to have both of them on the show. Didn't want to do like, because obviously like there were TV reporters there and they did the like quick hits. We're going to get longer form, you know, interviews with them. So I'm excited to do that and set those up. I was excited to do that. So excited to have them on here and talk for longer than 2 minutes.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. Cause I'm excited. And we've talked about, we've tried, you know, to set something up for them for a hot minute. We are obviously waiting for this camp to get through and for them to get through spring ball. Cause it can be, a little difficult to get them during that time, especially when you're going through like the school and stuff to get requests. Yep. They don't do a ton of outside interviews unless you're actually going up there and in South Bend and doing interviews with them daily, ever after practices and stuff.
I was a little surprised that there weren't more kids there from our area. I was honestly a little disappointed in that aspect. This was a free camp.
Yeah.
100% free. There were scouts there. It's Tay-Tay Johnson coming back, giving back to his community. It was a free camp.
Yeah.
Dedicating nothing but his time.
Yeah. I mean, do you think it had to do with like baseball and baseball still going on Saturday? I mean, even travel AAU basketball is going on as well. I mean, I imagine that might have to take away from it a little bit with some of those athletes that also play football.
Nah. All the football players in this area don't play baseball. There are a few.
Yeah.
But, nah. There's probably some I don't want to go off too much on a tangent here, but I'm sure that there's a specific reason why kids weren't showing up from other schools other than Northside and Northrop, why they didn't show up. I did see one of Concordia's cornerbacks was there. I think his name's CJ Morris, the cornerback for Concordia. He was there. So there was some representation from Concordia. But still, I was still a little disappointed that there wasn't more kids. There's so much talent here. I mean, look, we have, and not that I'm expecting, you know, Imadobe or Javonte Eldridge or Maddox or any, you know, I didn't expect all of them to show up, but it would have been nice to see some of the other kids, you know, class of 28 prospects coming out this week as well for Outside the Huddle. And there's a lot of guys on there that I would have loved to see yesterday. So there's just a tons of talent that I would have liked to see. But for the few I did get to see, mostly Northside kids. Like I said, I got to see Northside's new quarterback, Brandon Sanders, and Malik Moore was there. So just wish there was a little bit more talent from our area.
Yeah. It, you know, maybe just having things be in the first year of things, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It feels like we've known about it for quite some time. We've talked about it, at least going back a couple months, that there was going to be a camp. So I know we've at least talked about it and have, you know, shared the word a little bit. So I don't know. Maybe the word just didn't get out, or like you said, there's some other factors that are playing a factor here why some other kids didn't show
up. I'll tell you off record.
Okay. All right. So it was a great camp to be out there. I'm glad you got to see a lot of
kids. It was awesome, and I got pictures and stuff that I have to post. It was awesome seeing him. Like, and so many times you see these camps that these kids put on, and it's just their name, and they're just kind of like, you know, kind of letting other people handle things. That wasn't yesterday.
Yeah.
Tay-Tay went around to each station, and you've seen him working hands-on with every kid there. Hands-on. Yeah. I mean, all of the guys were. But Tay-Tay specifically roaming around, because all the other guys had their own stations. They had their own you know, spots where they would rotate. Tay-Tay rotated around to each station and each kid and worked with them all. It was awesome. It was awesome to see. And again, everybody's favorite word, it was free.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if, you know, he got this or made like, and maybe he got that sort of thing from being with Marcus Freeman up at Notre Dame, because that's the sort of thing that you hear about Marcus Freeman, that he goes around and at least has an interaction with each individual player before practice, like as they're warming up and doing stretches and stuff like that. So I don't, maybe a little of that rubbed off him. I'm not saying it's a direct influence, but maybe some of that, you know, having wanting to be intentional and go around and make sure you have an interaction with each kid, because you want those kids to potentially come back for another camp, you know. Yeah. And if you have a one-on-one, even if it's just for a couple seconds, saying, "Hey, thanks for coming," handshake, dap them up, whatever, that can mean, you know, quite a bit to some of these kids that are looking up to a Tay-Tay Johnson and want to play at the next level. And so, you know, maybe some of that he learned from the ways that and how Marcus Freeman runs his program up at Notre Dame. So, you know, I imagine some of it's rubbing off. And I've heard a lot of great things about Tay-Tay and, you know, how he's grown up and how he's matured while he's at Notre Dame and how he's, you know, talked about family life and all that sort of stuff. And it's great to see, you know, him giving back and setting a good example for the community here in Fort Wayne. And obviously we wish him nothing but the best, even, you know, outside of football. Obviously, you know, personally, I have an investment in seeing him do good on the field for Notre Dame as a Notre Dame fan, but it's great to see him do great stuff off the field as well. So, and it's not just him. You know, we've seen other guys like, you know, Jesse Bates holds a camp as well. We've seen Rod Woodson hold camps. You know, it's great to see those guys come back and host and give back to the community as well here in the 260. So it's great to see him doing that and starting that out. And hopefully it's something that continues long after he's, you know, gone on to the NFL, because his name has been rumored that he could be, you know, he's climbing up draft boards, let's say, as far as, you know, him having the potential to come out if he has a really good, you know, follow-up season to what he had last year, have a and potentially make it into the draft next year if that's what he chooses to do. So I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah, same, brother. Yeah.
You want to talk a little Colts?
Yeah, because you got me when you introduced the Colts schedule and you said there's not going to be many wins. I didn't like that. I'm not even a Colts fan. I didn't like that. So elaborate.
Well, when I talk to Colts fans, and I even have some family members that are Colts fans, the interest is just – it's bottomed out, man. Like, there's some people that don't even want to watch this team anymore. They don't even care what they're doing in the draft. And when I see the schedule come out And I see that they do a collaboration with The Simpsons to release their schedule. and I thought it was just a giant waste of money. Because why are you putting all this time in a schedule that doesn't even matter and it's going to result in 4 or 5 wins and you're going to end up with a top 5 pick in the NFL draft? Why are you wasting your time with The Simpsons and spending millions of dollars on a promotion?
Wait, what'd you just say? What draft pick?
The top 5.
You think the Colts are going to have a top 5 draft pick?
I think they should try. I think you should just completely reset this team. I think, and we've talked about, you know, GM needs to be gone. He's worn his welcome. I think that it's about time for this team to just. Do you want to be a middling, mediocre franchise for 5 more years? Do you want to, you know, hover around 7 to 9 wins for the next 5 years, or do you want to bottom out once, get a top 5 draft pick, get your starting quarterback for the future? And then potentially work your way back up to being a team. Because look at their schedule and tell me, does the NFL respect the Colts as a team that's going to be in contention late in the year? No, they have two nationally televised games. You have the Sunday night against the Chiefs, and if it wasn't against the Chiefs, it wouldn't be on Sunday Night Football in Week 2. Let me tell you that. They have a Thursday night game against the Texans. Snooze fest. Let me tell you, that's going back to the old Thursday night days when they're crappy games. It's gonna be bad. They do have a game. Who are they playing? They're playing overseas for one game. Yeah, they're playing in London Week 4 against the Commanders. Okay. There's one more nationally televised game because it's on NFL Network. So you have 3, technically, but pretty much 2 that are gonna get a good size audience, because I can't even remember. I can't even remember when the games are on at 9:30 on whoever is playing overseas in London or whatever. So you want to go through the schedule? Let's go through the schedule.
Before we even do that. Okay. Right. There's so much wrong with what you just said. I don't even know.
Tell me. All right. Tell me.
So you're telling me you look at this Colts roster.
Yeah.
And you compare it to the Cardinals, the Raiders, the Jets, the Dolphins, Titans.
I'm saying that they're like,
you're saying the Colts just, are a top 5, and that's just a few. You're saying you're saying the Colts are in that same company? Are you kidding?
Of that group, they're probably the best team, and it's not saying much.
Bryce,
where do you think they're going to win the division?
Maybe.
No.
Who's going to win? Titans? Texans?
Not the Titans. Probably the Texans. The Texans have a good defense, at least. CJ Stroud had a down year, for sure. I mean, I even like the Jags more than I like the Colts. Not by much. I'm not saying this
division is great, man. I don't believe in the Jags anymore. I give up on the Jags, bro.
I'm not saying this division is great.
I give up on the Jags.
But I'm just saying, when you compare the Colts to the rest of the league, they're in the
I'm done believing in the Jags as much as I am believing in the Bills. I'm done. Or picking the Duke Blue Devils to win the NCAA tournament.
Well, that's just a mistake on your own. Like, you should never do that. But the Bills, if you want to – okay, you mentioned the Bills. The Bills have
– we're believing in the Detroit Pistons in the NBA.
Hey, Game 7. Is that today? Game 7 today?
Why is that going to choke?
The Bills have 7 nationally televised games, 6 in prime time. That just shows you like how far this team could go, like is off from the national radar. Like
you just completely disrespected the Colts. Like, there's no way. But we can go through the schedule.
Why do I have to respect them?
We can go through the schedule and you can tell me how this is a top 5 drafting team.
I'm gonna write these down, and then we can do this.
You want me to show the graphic?
I want to write it down so that we can come back to this. We can do it again when the season gets closer to see if anything changes.
All right.
And when we make like official predictions and stuff like that. But I'm gonna write it down.
Bring back our famous nacho bet.
Dude, I am – speaking of that, I drove by Coney Island Express or where it was. It's not there anymore.
No.
It's not there. I swear. I drove by. I looked off of 27. I was like – no. Because every time I drive by there, I was like, oh, I love that spot. I should maybe stop and get something. But it's not there anymore, man. As far as unless it's moved and I haven't looked it up. But I was like, Coney Island Express
and Rudisill, huh? Yeah, Southgate.
I don't think it's there anymore unless it moved. Because I think there's some car wash now. Like with the rest of the 20 million car washes we have in this town.
Well, we'll have to find a different bet. But let's go through it. Let's go.
All right.
Cold schedule.
All right. Let's see how many wins they get. Week one, Ravens. It's at home. I'm saying that's an easy Ravens win right there, let me tell you.
Easy Ravens win?
Easy. I mean, that's like a double-digit win for the Ravens right there.
Yeah, I probably picked the Ravens too. I don't know about easy, though. Let's chill.
All right. Sunday night at Kansas City.
Is Mahomes going to be back?
I think he's going to be back. I saw this week that he's trending well. So.
Okay. It's at Kansas City?
At Kansas City at night.
All right, I'll go Kansas City.
Week three, Texans at home.
Colts.
Okay, DC's going W. You know what? I'll give him a W there. Then they quick turnaround Thursday at Commanders. I'm going loss.
I'm going Colts.
All right. A week after that. No, that's not a Thursday night. Sorry, that's the London game. Excuse me. So they travel back from London to Pittsburgh on the following week, week five, at Pittsburgh.
Aaron Rodgers.
That's another
loss. We're going Colts.
You have this team being 3-2 after 5 weeks. Insane. Colts. Insane. Fine. Tennessee, then the following week in week six at home. Who you got?
Colts.
Oh my, you're gonna have this team like winning the Super Bowl by the end of this. I have another loss. At Minnesota in week seven. At Minnesota.
All right, that's a loss.
I'll go opposite. I'll give him a W there. So you have a loss. Okay. Following week at Jags.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go loss.
Oh wow. Going back on what you said, you don't trust the Jets.
I mean, it's regular season. I'm saying the playoffs, I don't trust the Jets.
All right. That makes sense. Following week nine, at home versus the Cowboys.
Cowboys.
I'm almost going to go win, but you're going to go Cowboys?
Yeah.
I'm going to give the Colts a win there.
Okay.
I'm going to give them a win.
Well, you're picking a lot of wins for somebody that had them picking in the top five.
To the first 9 weeks, they have three wins. Week 10, Miami at home.
Colts.
Okay. This will be the only Colts winning streak of the year. I'll give them a win. At Texans, week 11. That one is a Thursday night game on Prime. I'm going to go loss.
I am as well because I picked the Colts the other time.
All right. Week 12 at home against the Giants.
Colts.
DC week 13.
Although the Giants now though.
That's why I have a loss. I think the Giants that pass rush, that defense, that's pretty damn good. All right, after week 13, bye. Week 14 at Philadelphia.
Loss.
Yeah, easy loss at the Titans. Following week,
Colts.
Week 15. Okay, you're going Colts. I'm going loss. Bengals week 16 at home. Yeah.
Healthy. I mean, that's the end of the season, though. That's hard to predict.
Yeah, I know. Is Burrow going to be healthy? Like, right. That's what the one thing that you're asking. Hurt, bro. I know.
I'm going to go Colts. All
right, you're going Colts. I'm going to go another loss. At Browns, week 17.
I don't even know why you're asking. I didn't even mention the Browns when you said top five.
I'm going to go 17. Another Colts loss.
Against the Browns.
Dude, that Browns defense is one of the best. They have the crappiest offense.
Still have to score.
So do the Colts, man. So do the Colts. All right. Week 18. Jags at home.
At home?
Jags at home. Now Colts. You're going Colts. The Colts feels like always week 18 they lose. I'll give them a win there. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have this team going 5-12. You have this team going – you have a four-game winning streak in the beginning of the year. That's insane to me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You have this team going 10-7. You have 5 more wins than I do. You have this team going 10-7. That is insane.
Did you forget that this team was 8-0 to start last year?
Don't you remember that they lost like their next 8 games after that?
Don't you remember when quarterback Daniel Jones got hurt?
Is he coming back? Is he going to be healthy? Is he going to be 100%? 100%.
I mean, you can't. I mean, 100% is kind of forcing it. I mean, he's coming back from ACL injury, but he'll be all right.
I have it written down. May 17th. It's the day. We'll revisit this before the season. Hey,
so whoever's closer. Other has to buy dinner.
Okay.
We got to go something bigger than that. It's kind of a big bet.
It's not going to be. We're not going to find this out.
If we place this bet on like FanDuel, the payout would be pretty huge. So it's got to be more than just that. We'll think of something.
Yeah, we'll think of something.
Think of something. But it's got to be bigger than that.
Like if we're getting towards the end of the season and it looks like the Colts might actually win 10 games or 5, how about we go to week 18 against the Colts? Like maybe it's on the line then. You know, who's
I like that.
Yeah. Whoever's closest has to buy the tickets.
There we go. I like that. Just be ready to buy those tickets.
All right.
I didn't know when you turned to a Colts hater, but
I'm not a Colts hater. I'm realistic about this team, and I just think that this team just needs to.
I didn't know last year until Daniel Jones got hurt. Beat my Broncos. Well, Broncos beat themselves, but.
Yeah. I just don't think, like, with when you have Kenny Moore asking for a trade. And I just don't know who on this team excites you outside of Daniel Jones. And does Alec Pierce do it for you? I mean, it feels like he was overpaid. I don't know.
All wide receivers are overpaid these days.
Well, I'm just not super excited when you look at the roster up and down, and mm-hmm. I don't.
I hear you, but Colts are winning more games than you think.
I mean, they are. They're playing. What is it? Is the AFC North? Yeah, the AFC North. Whoops, my microphone. AFC North and their division is not great, so. And it feels like they're playing the NFC East, which is not super loaded. It feels like those teams
they're
going to be better, but it feels like there's going to be a lot of closer games. It's not I don't think the Colts are going to get blown out every single week.
Right.
But it just – I don't know. I feel like this team needs to pick
Good though. NFL releasing the regular season schedule is always a good moment because we love football season.
But, we do.
I think we both love baseball season better.
We do. I didn't love last night watching the Cubs. Last night was pretty rough. They got down 0-7. 7-0. I turned it off after Jameson Taillon gave up his fourth or fifth home run of the game. So that was brutal. But I mean, you got your Mariners hat on. So, and you don't love that team right now, do you?
Not right now, I don't. But you know, there's still a gazillion amount of games left, so maybe they can get it together before the end of the season. Second half, you know.
Yeah.
I've been more locked in with high school and college.
Yeah.
Locally, NAIA.
Yeah.
And then like local high school baseball. I've been locked in with that more.
Yeah, I'm excited for College World Series for sure. And I know, like, I think conference tournaments get started here soon, don't they? I know because a softball tournament is going on right now, And we've been talking behind the scenes a little bit of trying to get some local flavor of players that are playing in the NCAA tournament right now, and trying to get one of those girls on as well. So efforting on that end. But yeah, super into baseball right now. After we talked to Coach Gold, I have a hot take for you on the Cubs. So I want to be more excited than I am.
Okay.
I like this team a lot. I have thoughts on where this team will end up by the end of the season. So, but let's wait and let's talk to Coach Kyle Gold from Taylor University. His team is going to the NAIA World Series for the second time in 4 years, third time in program history. Coach, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on a very successful season and going to the World Series once again. You guys were named, I think yesterday, the top seed in the tournament or in the World Series. And what's it been like for this season, and what's it been like to make it out there to Idaho once again? Coach, can you hear us? Nope. Oh, we dropped him. We'll see if we can get Coach back. See if he can hear us. We're trying to...
He said he couldn't hear anything.
Okay. Well, we'll try to bring him on once again. You know, that's just how it goes here on technology sometimes. Hopefully you can get him back on there. But like I said, they are the top seed out in Lewiston. And this is their, like I said, third all-time appearance in the NAI College World Series. I believe it's the first time they've reached 50 wins in a season. This team is 51-5, which is absolutely insane. I think they only lost like one conference game the entire season. And then they lost one game in the conference tournament. And that was to Indiana Wesleyan. And it was a tight back and forth ball game. But the thing that stands out on with this team, DC, is they can just mash the ball. This team can absolutely hit. They scored 22 runs against Indiana Tech to clinch their way into the World Series. And this team is just a mash unit. And it feels like that anytime that this team steps to the plate, they're going to score at least 10 runs. And I think this team is just, you know, a mash unit, like I said, and I can't wait to see what this team can do.
I was able to talk to him a lot earlier this year.
Yeah,
and he's been killing the ball.
Yeah,
he's the one that, you know, obviously we follow with the local ties, you know, being a Carroll grad and, you know, seeing what he's doing. Plus, he wasn't even supposed to play college baseball.
Mm.
He was a bowler. He started college as a bowler. And then started as a walk-on, I think he started at Huntington, then went over to Indiana Tech, and now he's at Taylor. So he's been mashing the ball.
Hmm. Yeah. All right. So we're still having issues with Coach's audio here. We're efforting to get him on here. Like I said, we can try to get Coach Gold on here in just a moment. They, like I said, had 22 runs, second most this team has scored in a game this season in their win over Indiana Tech to clinch the opening round victory and make their way to the NAIA tournament on just a few days ago, last Thursday, I believe, and making their way out to the NAIA World Series for the third time in program history. And the first time I think that they made it to the College World Series in NAIA was in 1969. And then the first time since then was in 2023. And this year in 2026 is the third time for the program. So I know DC's over there working behind the scenes to try and get Coach on. And he just seems to be struggling with some computer speaker issues over there. Can't hear us.
Yeah.
So
we'll try to get him on today. If not, we'll try another time and try to, you know, pre-record or something. But
yeah.
What was your What's your bold Cubs take?
Yeah. Just before we get to that, I will say, Taylor, their first game in the College World Series is on Friday. So if anybody's interested in following what the Trojans are going to be doing next, their first game will be on Friday out in Lewiston, Idaho. So for my bold Cubs take, like I mentioned to you, DC, for me, I really like this team. I think this team can hit the ball well. This team can score with just about any team. I think they have one of the best run differentials in all of baseball. And I just think when it comes to this team and their pitching, I think it might hurt them in the end because they've had so many injuries. With Justin Steele hopefully coming back sometime around the All-Star break, and I'm trying to think, Cade Horton, who's out for this year and potentially next year, I think that the Cubs, I think their arms are just going to get worn down by the end of the season, and I think that they will get into the playoffs. I don't think they will get in there and really do anything of sorts. I don't think they had the depth to get deep into the postseason.
Yeah. Especially as loaded as the National League is, you know, those other teams, you know, like the Dodgers and Padres, they're deep in their, you know, in their staff. It's going to be tough to compete with those kind of teams.
Yeah. I think the Cubs took 2 out of 3 from San Diego, only won one game against the Dodgers when they were out on the West Coast. They only took 1 of 3 from the Braves recently. So when they go up against the top teams in the NL, they do tend to struggle. So it's concerning. So maybe they'll get some help at the deadline and my opinion will change. But we'll get more into that. Let's try one more time for Coach Gold and see if he can get on and hear us. Coach, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. All right. Awesome to have you on, Coach. Thank you so much for joining us here on the show, and congrats on your season that is taking you out to Lewiston, Idaho for the NAI World Series. You guys are going to be the top seed out there. You know, to get out there for the second time in 4 years, you know, what's that mean to you and your program?
Well, first of all, guys, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate you giving me the chance to talk a little Taylor baseball. It's an incredible thing. You know, we've had an incredible season, and we have a great senior class that made it out there as freshmen, and it's been like a big thing for us to try to make it back out ever since, and finished a game or two short the last 2 years, and so this team was pretty motivated all year, even with, you know, we've won a lot of games. We've won the conference tournament, but this was really the thing the guys wanted to do all year. So it's really satisfying to see him accomplish that.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about a Carroll grad from our area, Jordan Malott, who's been tearing the ball up. And I, you know, interviewed him earlier this year on my 260 Dugout podcast because kid wasn't even supposed to be playing college baseball. He's a bowler. And switched over to back over to the Diamond. Let's talk about what he's done for your program this year.
Well, I think that might be the first time in history someone's supposed to be playing baseball. He's supposed to be bowling. So, congratulations on making baseball broadcasting history. That's incredible. So, Jordan is awesome, man. He is we're almost all 4-year guys. I think 30 of our 36 guys came out of high school, so we only have 6 transfers. But Jordan came in as a senior transfer, and he fit in with the team in about 30 seconds. He's just really committed to working hard, to being a great teammate, to playing winning baseball. But he is a monster in the batter's box, man. He's closing in on 100 RBI, which is just wild for a college baseball player to do. And the limited games we play for him to be able to do that is 57 games. I think he has 92 RBI. So he's a great player, great leader, plays good at first base, but he's one of the best hitters in the country at any level for sure.
What did going 4 years or 4 years ago do? Like you said, a lot of these guys that were on the team were freshmen at that point. What did that do for this team to have this, you know, be a goal to get back there once again?
Yeah, you know, for a long time we would just say, like, we've done everything else. We've had guys drafted, we've won championships, we've won 40 plus games, we've, you know, won conference tournaments, we've beaten the number one team in the country. It was kind of the one thing we hadn't done, and then we just broke through in 23, and what a special team that was. You know, to be able to do that. Then when we went out there, we won two games at the World Series. We beat the number two team in the country by like 20 runs. Just kind of this big game, and I think it just kind of blew the lid off a little bit and showed not just us, but you know, the other teams around the country that we were a force, and we were someone to you know, that you had to respect, that you had to account for. And I think it's led to a lot of great things since then. I mean, we've been ranked number one in the country here for a couple months. And I think you guys know this, in a sport like baseball, that you just don't see teams from Indiana getting anything close to that. I think it's been good for our league. I think it's helped some of the other teams in our league get some respect. And you saw us get four teams in the tournament this year. But yeah, I just think it's true in all sports. You know, basketball has the Final Four, baseball has the World Series, and you make it or you don't. And once you do, then you're kind of in the club of World Series teams. So I think our players feel a little bit different about themselves. I think, you know, recruits feel different about us. I think our opponents feel different about us. And like I said, I think it's just giving people around the country license to just put a lot of respect with our guys.
Yeah, and in addition to Malott, you definitely, what I love about your program, just kind of selfishly, is, you know, you're big with our area here in Fort Wayne. Got a lot of representation from Fort Wayne on your program. Talked about Malott, Drew Graft as well from this area, Luke McDonald, who I had on the podcast, a freshman that's playing a lot for you this year. Just talk about some of the other Fort Wayne area guys that are, you know, are helping contribute to this Taylor baseball program today.
Yeah, those guys you listed are great. We also have Jake Boyer from Blackhawk Christian. We got Sam Glad from Columbia City. And even, you know, if we go recent grads, I live in Fort Wayne. I'm a proud Fort Wayne guy. But I think if you look at our team, we have a lot of Indiana guys, and we have a lot of guys Fort Wayne and North. And I think there's great baseball all over this state. I think a lot of people are waking up to that. You're seeing a lot more Indiana kids signing to go play all over the country. Last year we had a sixth round draft pick, Gable Pentecost, who was from Fremont, Indiana. Again, I don't know that that's ever been said before, sixth round draft pick from Fremont, but I think a lot of people are waking up to how good Indiana baseball is. And I think we've had like a really good long run, and it's been a lot of Indiana guys. And I appreciate what I appreciate about Northern Indiana guys. There's just a level of toughness to them that's a little bit different. You know, some people will call Taylor a white collar school at times. But man, our guys are super tough. And they work really hard, and they care a lot, and they are just uber competitive. You know, even last week in the, you know, we had to win one of the last two to make it to the World Series, and we score six in the first and come up and give five back in the bottom of the first, and we just bounce right back and score four more. And I think our guys they're just pretty relentless. You know, and in this sport, to be 52-5, like, baseball's not set up for that. And I think it speaks to the toughness, and I think that is a Northern Indiana, as you guys well know, that is a Northern Indiana virtue, and I think our team has it in spades. And in case any of the guys are listening to this, our non-Northern Indiana guys are plenty tough too, but there is something, there's just some real, like, toughness, and you guys know this too, like, sports matter to people in this area, and it matters to their parents, and it matters to their families, and so they don't come in. They come in knowing it matters, you know, that they got to be good, and they have expectations on them. So we love the Fort Wayne guys.
Yeah, Coach, I think it's having to play in 20-degree weather in the middle of February and March that makes them tough for sure. That has something to do with it. As DC and I have both done that as well as former high school baseball players here in Northeast Indiana. I'm so glad you mentioned Gable too, because I had the pleasure of covering him at my previous job. And that kid is tough as, like you said, tough as nails. You wouldn't expect anything, you know, especially if you didn't look at him as, you know, just a dominating pitcher. If you just saw him on the street, you didn't think, like, man, this kid can throw hard. He's tough. He has a lot of good stuff on the mound. And I watched him pitch up at Fremont a handful of times, and he's very, very good. So I'm glad you mentioned him, because I was going to ask about him, because he's doing good things in the minor leagues right now. I want to ask about how your team is at the plate, because you guys, I just was telling DC before you joined us, this your team is a mash unit. You guys are averaging, you know, I think around 10 runs per game. You know, where does that kind of come from? And you're able to win in multiple different ways as well, with some run, a few, a handful of a one run games, but a lot of your games, you guys are scoring in the double digits.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. We have, there's really two things we're trying to do. We're trying to be elite at just commanding the strike zone. And I think when you watch us play, we're big, we're physical. We have a lot of good players hit up and down the lineup. It's not like it stops at, you know, Braden Manning, Jordan Mailhot, Brennan Frickle. Those guys have huge numbers, but you know, you got like Sam Glad's hitting sixth for us right now. Like that's a luxury with a guy like that. So we're going to, you know, hit up and down the order. We have guys on the bench that are really, really good too. But we start with really having command of the strike zone. We want to get in as good accounts as possible. And so when you put up the numbers we have, I think we're leading the country in runs. We're first or second in average, fourth and on base, maybe second in slugging. So you're just going to see a team that you have to throw strikes to and has the ability to drive the ball out of the park or drive the ball for extra bases. And so, you know, what we'll get sometimes is, if we get going a little bit on offense, you'll see teams kind of lose the strike zone. And these guys are so, you know, like selfless enough to take their walks and move on. But I also think it's understanding that the when I don't swing at balls, they have to throw me strikes. And so I always tell them, like, it's an investment in future at-bats, you know, is really having command of that. So I think that's what you'd see with our offense is we don't chase a lot. And, man, we can hit for power. And it's a great combination. And so just kind of 1 through 9, that's how we play.
Yeah, I know Bryce loves the pitching aspect that you have, but me, as a former DH, I love looking at the stat lines and looking at the website and looking at social media and seeing breaking the single season home run record. That's the stuff I like seeing as a former DH. Is that something that you were following, or and just talk about the moment you found out that this team, this program this year, broke the home run record for single season?
Yeah, I don't keep our baseball sports information guys, Derek Blyberg, and if you read any of that stuff, he's incredible, and he pulls that stuff out. So I usually find out about it after the fact because I just don't. We have metrics that we use with our guys, and we're blessed. We have TrackMan. We get a lot of like kind of the major league level, like exit velocities and chase rates. So we have all kinds of. So I kind of just kind of locked into those numbers and. You know, what our opponent's going to do and how we can exploit that. But I just think it's awesome. And I've been here long enough. When I hear things like that, I just think, like, man, I can't believe we hit more home runs than we did in 2023 because that team had T.J. Bass and that team had Cade Vandermolen and that, you know, and so Mason David and Caleb Culpin. And so I think that's where it's fun. When guys break records, I always, like, read down the list and see the guys they passed. And I'm like, I can't believe they did that, you know, because that guy was so good. And sometimes they accuse me of liking the alumni more than them, but it's probably true. Because I have so much respect for what those guys have done, and yeah, on the offensive side, it's been a special year so far, and we're gonna head out to Idaho and try to tack onto it a little bit.
What are your expectations when you get out there? You've been out there, like you said, a handful of years, 4 years ago. You know, what are your expectations to get out there? I imagine having a team full of roster that have experience, that have been out there, know what the moment's all about, and have, you know, been tested, you know, here recently in the conference tournament and in the opening round. You know, what are your expectations for your guys when you get out there?
Yeah, so the city of Lewiston is kind of built on the NAI World Series. The ballpark's incredible, but like everywhere you go in town, like they know who you are, and like it's all kind of built on it. So You do all kinds of events during the week. They'll do like a kids clinic, or you go visit like local elementary schools, or you're just around and you get to see it. So my expectation is we fly out tomorrow. So my expectation is Monday through Thursday, we're enjoying it and having the most fun in Lewiston. We're not gonna you know, overdo that. And then when Friday comes, like, it's just that we're gonna play the same way we played all year, Again, you don't go 52-5 being inconsistent. So, like, I tell our guys this every time, you know, we do scouting reports just like everybody does, and I get into it, and sometimes I start thinking, man, this team's really good, or this pitcher's really good, or this, and then I just put on the video of our guys, and I just think, like, well, I'm going to spend my energy on our guys. And so I expect our guys to be really, really ready to play. You know, they want to have a chance to compete for a national championship. But we also know this, every team at the World Series is good. So you can play well and lose, and so we have great respect and great admiration for our opponents out there, because they did the same thing we did. They went through one of these grueling opening round brackets and won it, and dogpiled on the field just like we did. And so we have great respect for them and know that we've got to play at our best to give ourselves a chance to win. But I believe in our guys and expect that we'll play the way we have all year. And if someone's going to knock us out, they're going to have to play really well to do it. That's kind of how we try to view it.
At this point in the season, how much time do you spend on opposing teams as part of, or, you know, on the opposite, self-scouting and, you know, looking at what you guys need to shore up before you get out there?
Yeah, that's a great question, and we have so much data available with Synergy and TrackMan. We can get anything. We try to be very consistent from our first series of the year till now. Like, we're not going to give them more or less than we have all year. And so what we'll do is in our pregame meeting, we'll give the pitchers, like, or the hitter, sorry, like, here's what the pitcher looks like. And all week in practice, we do a lot of machine work. We'll do it based on what we're going to see. I just don't tell them. That's why. I think they're smart enough to figure that out. But I don't want to stand up there all day or every week, every practice, and talk about somebody else. We're going to stand up there and talk about us. And so we'll just do a lot of work, be it in the cages, base running stuff, or defensively, working on the things they're going to do. I just don't really say the other team's name a lot. I like to tell our guys all the time, the only team who decides who wins is us. And so we'll do that. But then we get to the game, like, hey, this is what we're going to see, and his velocity is this. This is what he throws righties. This is what he throws lefties. And we give him usage rates. And then I tell him all the time, like, this is what he's done in the past. But, like, we'll see what he's going to do to us. And then we try to figure it out as we go. And but I don't post stuff on our dugout wall about other people. We're worried about us. And so we, as coaches, have all kinds of information. And I'm going to use that information to make the best decision on what relief pitchers to use or what pinch hitter to use. But I don't want our guys' minds filled with the other team. I want them... our pitching coach, Justin Barber, also a Fort Wayne guy, he does a really good job. Like, with starting pitcher the night before, he sends them all their Synergy clips of them getting swings and misses and, like, them being successful. And it's the same thing. They got to have some idea of the lineup. But Justin calls pitches, and he does a great job, and he has all the information. Our pitchers need to be in full attack mode, much more than on the internet reading about stats from somebody they'll never meet.
Yeah, the final thing for me is another thing that I noticed, and just throwing this out there, because I brag about baseball here in Indiana so much. I will say, in the NAIA World Series, the only state to have more than one representative in the World Series.
Amen. Those guys down in IU Southeast have had a great year, man, down there in New Albany, and look forward to connecting with them while we're out there. But for sure, it's a we don't need everybody coming in recruiting all these guys, all right? They need to come to Taylor. I see high school baseball played in a lot of states in the country, and it makes me proud to be from Indiana. We have some, you know, you asked about, like, Jordan Malott. He played for Coach Ginder at Carroll. Like, that guy knew how to play baseball.
Yeah.
Like he was coached really well. Or you get, like, Homestead kids, or, you know, Leo had a great team last year. Like, Luke played good high school, good travel ball, or Drew's playing at Norwell High School. I mean, like, those guys have known how to play baseball for 50 years at Norwell High School. So we love our Indiana guys. We love our Fort Wayne. We love our Northern Indiana guys. It's nice to have two of them out there. I'll have to talk to the coach at IU Southeast. Maybe we bring the Indiana flag and wave it around or something. Who knows?
There we go.
Yeah, that'd be very, very cool. Coach, thank you so much for connecting with us this morning, and good luck when you're out there. You have two guys here from Northeast Indiana that'll definitely be rooting for you.
Man, I appreciate you guys having me on. Sorry about the technical difficulties, but I listened to your interviews with Jordy and Luke, and just appreciate all the coverage you give our players. We are blessed to coach the best kids in the country, man, and anyone who can help show that is incredible, and just appreciate you guys, and we'll go out there and try to show them what's up in Indiana, yeah?
All righty.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, Coach.
Thanks, guys. Thank you so much, Coach. That is Coach Kyle Gold, and his Taylor Trojan baseball team is headed out to Lewiston, Idaho, for the NAIA World Series. I'm so glad we got to actually connect with him, because we were having some issues. But I like the way he thinks about the game. You 100%. And I are such, you know, baseball guys at heart. That's probably, you know, we were both the sport that we were, like, both really good at in, like, our our high school days and still love to this day and love coaching it and watching it. So whenever we can get somebody who's on that level and can speak about the game in that way and just have those perspectives, because I thought it was interesting that they don't put anything about the other team in their dugout. I've been in enough dugouts to where, like, okay, you put something on opposing teams, a scouting report or something like that, but to have nothing on the opposing team because hopefully you've studied, you know, the night before, the day before, the day of, before the game, and you're just going out there and being in attack mode. You don't have to think too much, because when you're in baseball and you think too much, that's when shit hits the fan. You know, that's when things go wrong, when you're out there thinking way too much. You just go out there and just kind of react.
Anyone that's played baseball knows it's more mental than anything.
Yeah. So, and as long as you can, you know, be prepared and go into it and not have to think every single moment, I think you're definitely going to have a lot of success. And Taylor has had a lot of success with Coach Gold. He's been there for over 20 years. And he's done a really good job with that program. And I'm glad he mentioned Gable, because I was going to ask about him, but, cause Gable's done pretty well in the minors too. So, super excited for that.
Nice stuff.
We'll give you a recap.
I think I'm going to put this on my 260 Dugout podcast.
Go ahead, man. Cause I think it was really good. Yeah. So I think they play their first game on Friday out there in Idaho, and we'll give you a recap on some of the results that happen out there while they're in the World Series. Before we do get out of here, we didn't get to touch on it too much because we didn't have a show last week, but the IHSAA did vote down to have no shot clock, but did in favor of the PBA or NIL. So it was kind of expected after we talked to Kyle Nedenrip, and then we also talked to Justin Kinney last week or a couple weeks ago. So those were kind of decisions expected, and they played out how we thought they were. And we'll just have to wait.
Yep. And just keep in mind that, you know, the new PBA in high school athletics in Indiana is not the same as NIL as we know it.
Yeah.
Slightly different. Slightly more difficult.
Yeah.
And so just be ready. You know, for those athletes, hopefully, for most of them, hopefully, they've been in have people in their corner that have had them prepared and ready for this change. Because, you know, you obviously don't want to go into this blind. Got to know what you're doing, and you got to have people in your corner that know what they're doing. So for any high school athlete, you want to get involved in this PBA, just be smart, be selective, and have fun. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
That simple.
Yep. I'm excited to see where it goes for some of these kids that have the ability to do and see what they decide to choose to, you know, put their name behind and on. So see if there's any way they could be creative and stuff like that. I'm always fascinated by what and who does what. So the shot clock thing, I think it will eventually come. It's just going to take longer than it should, than it has. You and I are both in favor of it. I see both sides of the argument, like Kyle said, but it's like, man, I'm just in favor of it. Let's just keep this thing.
Yeah.
Let's go with the times. I mean, there's shot clocks in every level of basketball.
Like Kyle said, like, even if it's like 90 seconds, get some kind of, you know,
like 90 seconds is a little bit too much, but
I think you said 60. I don't think you said 90, but
yeah,
I was over exaggerating, but just some kind of time.
Yeah.
Because just holding the ball is crazy. I know it doesn't happen very often, so that's the argument that they make, but
right.
Hopefully eventually we just get one so everybody can just shut up.
Yeah.
And let it go.
I think it's time. We also had the update. We kind of knew it was coming, about Homestead and Concordia. They are no longer playing their game this year or the next 2 years between those two programs. So that means Homestead is now ineligible for the Bell, the SAC title. As I think they're playing Warren Central, if I'm not mistaken. And I forget who Concordia is.
Destroyed.
I can't remember. Look,
by all means, instead of playing Concordia and getting a win, go ahead and go get destroyed by Warren Central. By all means. Zechariah Wallace get 300 yards on you in a game and 6 touchdowns.
So yeah, Homestead will travel to Warren Central and Concordia will host Calumet. So the Calumet is out of the region. So yeah, we kind of knew this was coming and we were expecting it. An article that was on Outside the Huddle this past week kind of gave a breakdown of where, if things were to sort of break up a little bit, kind of gave an update on or an idea of where everybody might go if they were to break down the SAC a little bit. And it was kind of thinking that Carroll's would be the only one to potentially go independent. Homestead would probably stay in a shortened or smaller version of the SAC, as well as the Fort Wayne Community Schools. Those teams, those schools would probably all stay together. I think Dwanger would go independent, was the idea of it. Lures might go to the NE8, you know, sort of thinking. So, and Concordia might join like the ACAC was the gist of the article. Which it makes sense when you put it in those terms of where schools are as far as interest and money levels and competitiveness. I think a lot of what was in that article made sense. So I think the SAC isn't going to completely die, you know, after reading that, but
it was fine before they came in. It'll be fine after they leave.
Yeah, that's was my thinking. Like, if those two schools that came in just absolutely dominated, if they left,
go enjoy playing random schools from Ohio and Illinois and potentially getting destroyed by indie area teams. Go enjoy.
Well, I think, well, they want to be competitive with those types of programs, with the indie ones, I should say, like a Warren Central, or I know, like, there'd be teams from North Central Indiana, like Penn, Elkhart. You know, those are the programs that they could play that are on a similar level, because both of those programs take football very seriously and are competitive, at least here on this side of the state. So we do have a couple of other things to get to. We have the Fort Wayne Comets. They lead 3-2 over the Toledo Walleye in the Central Finals. I think they were up 3-0 in that series, if I'm not mistaken. 3-0. Yeah. Up so 3-0. They Tuesday at the Jungle. If you want to go out and support, apparently the team needs you because they are having trouble closing things out right now. So the winner of that series will face the Kansas City Mavericks, who are the best team in the ECHL right now, have not lost a game in the playoffs so far. So, yeah, good luck even if you do get out of this series, because you're going to be facing the best team in the league. Fort Wayne FC, they had a home match last night at Ruoff Mortgage Stadium. It was in the first game of the USL Cup, which takes all the USL teams from all divisions and puts them into one big tournament. They faced Indy 11. And Indy 11, for those that don't know, is a step above.
And they freaking tied again.
No, well, they lost, actually. It was 2-2. They lost in PKs. Because you can't draw. Right. It's not like a regular season match. It's like an actual tournament match. So they lost in PKs, but they did, you know, in regulation, they were tied 2-2. So, you know, they were at least showed to be competitive against a team in a higher division. So, and if you look, I looked recently, the standings were in the paper, this past week, they're in the top half of the USL one. So got a competitive team,
bro. That stadium at night just looks phenomenal.
Like, it does.
I cannot wait to go.
Yeah.
It looks so awesome. Like, I'm not even gonna lie. It looks beautiful. Like, I've seen so many pictures of the Fort Wayne FC Stadium. Is it Ruoff Mortgage or Ruoff Home Mortgage? It's Ruoff Mortgage
Stadium? Ruoff Mortgage, I think, yeah.
Yeah, it looks beautiful, man. If you have a chance, I couldn't last night because I had like 30 events to go to yesterday. But if you are free and able to go to a Fort Wayne FC game at the stadium, do it. I cannot wait for my first time. It looks beautiful. I've seen the pictures. We got to have a sideline sports show day out at the 4-1 FC. It looks good. And it looks, and also, you know, the complaints have calmed down too since the first day.
Yeah. And that was expected. You know, the first, you know, match was going to have some issues for sure. It's still not 100% done. But as you've seen, if you are watching on the broadcast or see some of the pictures that are posted afterwards, there is more people that are coming to these games. There, you know, the supporter section was pretty large for last night's match. Like, I watched the highlights of the goals being scored for Fort Wayne FC, and you can hear a bit of a pop, you know, from the crowd noise that, you know, the sound sounds really good in there. I will say, as far as, you know, and having a crowd out there, the environment seems to be picking up as the season goes along. And as I said a couple months ago, I was like, if this team is a winning team and a team that's competitive, you're going to get people to come out because they want to see a winning product. If you have a team that's at the bottom of the standings and is not competitive and getting blown out every single time, people aren't going to want to show up. They might want to come out and see the stadium, but then are you going to get a repeat customer? Probably not. But I think that having a team like this and competing with the likes of an Indy 11, who is another team that's like also looking for a new stadium. I don't know if you've, you know, seen the news down around Indy.
I was going to say, have you seen theirs compared to ours?
Well, they play at IU Indy Stadium. It used to be IUPUI. And I've actually been there for a soccer state finals, a high school state finals match. And it's old. It's not conducive for high level soccer. That's for sure. They need an upgrade.
I was gonna see a Pele statue.
Yeah. Well, they need a. They'll get an upgrade. They're trying to have a downtown stadium, I think they're just having a whole bunch of difficulty with where they want to put that stadium. And it's hard to get a new stadium built. That's for sure. The Fort Wayne FC one was supposed to be downtown initially, but then, you know, things happened and now it's off of a Bass Road. So those are the updates here locally. I did, before we want to get out of here, talk about the college football playoff. As there's been a bunch of coaching meetings that have happened recently. I know the ACC had their coaches meetings most recently this past week, and it came out that the ACC, along with the Big Ten and the Big 12, are in favor of a 24-team playoff. And also out of that was Notre Dame. Notre Dame was also in favor of a 24-team playoff. My thoughts are, I'm not in favor of a 24-team playoff. I'm fine if you go to 16. I like where it's at, 12. But if you're going to go up again, 16, I think, is the perfect number.
I've had this argument so many times, and this is exactly what I proposed. I said, not only does this make the top 25 more significant, but it also gives more teams more opportunities. It's a win-win.
Yeah, but I don't want to see team 24 and 25 in the college football
playoff. Why not? Why can't they get a shot?
Because they'll just get destroyed. Did you not watch JMU get destroyed? Did you not watch Tulane get destroyed in the playoff last year?
Right, but this is opening the door for like other like big programs, you know, like Notre Dame, you know, programs like that are like right on the outside, that are good programs.
That are right on the outside. They should have been in last year. We had this argument. They should have been in last year.
But they weren't, and they can now.
Okay, so you get to 16. Okay, and Notre Dame would have been in. Notre Dame would be in most years. I think if you go to 24, you're going to get those programs. Like, do you want to see Iowa in a playoff? No. Team can't score.
College basketball, you want to just take that down to like 12?
I'd rather have it be like 32. I want competitive games. Stop here, it, man. I want competitive games. I thought the tournament was fine at 68. That's another tournament that did expand. That something we didn't talk about in the past 2 weeks was the tournament did expand the basketball tournament to 76. And looking at it, I don't hate it. I don't love it either. It's essentially you're extending the first four into it's going. There's 12 teams that are going to be competing on the Tuesday and Wednesday before the whole tournament gets underway on Thursday. So it's fine, I guess. I mean, technically, yes, IU would have been in the tournament last year, but you've heard me rant that team was not a tournament team. That team should not have been in the tournament. That team was terrible down the stretch, and I don't want those teams in the tournament. I don't want them in. I don't want them in. So, yeah.
Deal with it.
Deal with it. I will say on the football side, I think our one saving grace, and thank you for the SEC. I say that kind of facetiously because the SEC is a bunch of arrogant a-holes who thinks all 16 of their teams should be in the playoff. but they are the one who is standing tall, so to speak, and limiting that at 16. And now I get it. Okay, if the college football playoff goes to 24, does that mean that we get Notre Dame and USC back on the schedule? Fine. Because okay. I think that's the only way that
my type of game gets back on the regular season schedule. Because I've always felt like the top 25 has been meaningless.
Yeah.
And so for me, this makes that meaningful.
I've always looked at these top 25 rankings,
and I'm like, who cares? It doesn't mean anything.
Just give me
a top eight. Top 25 means nothing. So this makes it mean something.
I don't think we need to make it mean anything because those teams, they can't compete for a national championship.
All right. Until one day that's
okay. You have one
matchup.
You'll have one in Iowa Hawkeyes 50 years. Come running. God, if Iowa ever wins a national championship.
Iowa Hawkeyes come flying in.
I'll go live in Iowa if Iowa wins the national championship, right?
All right.
I'll go live in the middle of a cornfield.
All right. You said it here first. You damn near already do.
I know. It's not. It's worse. I've been there. It's worse. Let me tell you. I don't like it. I think it probably will. But like we've only had 12 for 2 years, man. Like, can we just see this thing play out another 5 to 6 years?
Yeah,
like, wait. So I think the games that we had in what was the quarterfinals last year? Well, yeah. Indiana, Alabama wasn't close. I think we had Miami, Ohio State, I think was a good game. We had Georgia, Ole Miss, I think was a really good game. Then even when we got to the semifinals, I mean, again, Indiana was just a wrecking machine. They just destroyed everybody. But Miami and Ole Miss was a good game. And then the national champions. I just want good games. If we're going to get to 24 and that first round is just a bunch of blowouts, I'm not going to be super interested because I will be honest, I didn't watch that JMU game last year because I knew they were just going to get destroyed, and they did. I didn't watch the Tulane Ole Miss. I didn't watch that because Ole Miss just destroyed them, and it wasn't competitive. It wasn't fun, and it was a rematch of the game earlier in the season. So because we're going to get some like teams playing three, and another, I think, positive thing out of this will be the elimination of conference championship games, which I think is fine. Those games are just, I think some of them have been absolutely meaningless.
Yeah.
Because Ohio State and Indiana didn't need to play last year. Yes, it was a good game, but they were both already in the playoff no matter what. So it didn't matter. The only thing that was on the line was seeding, and Indiana clearly should have been the number one team all along. So, but before we get out of here, you said you wanted to do a recruiting update. did you have for Outside the Huddle? Is that what you
you
mentioned something earlier, and it probably goes along with how we started the show as well.
Yeah, so for OutsideTheHuddle.net, we're doing one more final ranking for before the summer starts, you know, before we start ramping up in a couple of months with media days and summer workouts and stuff like that. Revamped the entire class of 27 prospects for high school football in the area. Added a couple of players in there that one I missed last time because I thought, mistakenly, I thought he was a senior last year, but he's not. He's actually going to be a senior this year. So class 27, Jannard Moore, the defensive back for Northside, got added to the list, who's one of the top. I mean, his first team All-SAC from last year, so got to be added to that list. Yeah. One of the shutdown corners of the area, so added him to the list. And I added a newcomer as well to the top 20 list, Ketron Pascal from Snyder. He's playing football, kind of like the Imadobi story. He's a basketball player, though, transitioning to football. Big kid from Snyder, he's going to be an edge. He's been training at Traction as well, which you already know what that does to, you know, edge rushers. But basketball star making the transition to the gridiron, been putting in a lot of work. He's 6'5", 240. I mean, big boy and athletic. So I added him to the list as well. And then added a lot to the honorable mention section. I added Carson Powell from Norwell as well. Big guy, big, a lot of size, offensive lineman, defensive lineman. I added Joe Richmond, the quarterback and safety from Eastside, who put together video game numbers. I don't think people really understand the numbers he put up, but just to give you full transparency of what this kid has done. So at the next level, he's probably going to be a running back because he's a running quarterback. So kind of like Miles McLaughlin, who won Mr. Indiana Football last year, kind of like him.
Yeah.
But just quickly, last year, he ran for 1,700 yards and 20 rushing touchdowns at quarterback for Eastside, which ranked 12th in the entire state of Indiana. Okay.
That's crazy.
In addition to that, you know, he, you know, so with adding his passing and, you know, rushing stats, he combined for 3,072 total yards and 40 total touchdowns.
Goodness.
Yeah. So write down that name, Joe Richmond. Okay, from Eastside. So I added him to the list that I don't think a lot of people – I don't think he's on a lot of people's radars, but he's definitely on mine. Yeah. And then a lot of people added it to the honorable mention section, just a lot of guys that had to name just to get them in there. Cooper Craig, running back from Bluffton, ran for almost 800 yards, 12 rushing touchdowns last year. Had to add him. Harrison Sheely from Carroll, added him, almost 1,000-yard receiver last year, next to Jaden Van Pelt at Carroll. He comes back with Gabe Freisinger at quarterback for Carroll, so he's going to be the number one target. So video game numbers there for Carroll with that, with those two, that dynamic duo. So if you want to check them all out, I don't want to go through the entire list, but tons of new guys added to the honorable mention section. If you're interested in it, go to OutsideTheHuddle.net. All the stuff is there, and then we're going to put out an official graphic and announce it this week for the official ranking of top 10 prospects in the class of 2027. And also in addition to that, excuse me, the class of 2028 will be released this week as well. A lot of names on that list. Maddox Whale will be on that list, obviously. Javonte Eldridge. So just go to OutsideTheHuddle.net. You'll see all of that coming out this week.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I've already been thinking of like ideas for high school football as it comes up here. I mean, we've got to get through baseball and stuff and softball and all the spring sports here. Because hopefully baseball, we have some teams that are playing into mid June.
We got a couple.
So I think we got a couple. I think like one of those teams
from baseball too. I don't know if you've seen some of my articles for Indiana Preps, but I've got to highlight a couple of guys there as well. Jake McClurg from Center Grove, who was one of the top prospects in class of 2027. McClurg is going, I can't remember where he's going to college, but I did Hudson Devon, who's going to Bama. So, and I did a recent piece on Isaiah Snavely at Snyder. Not just him though, but I did like a family lineage type story because his dad, you know, originally from Defiance, Ohio, but his dad got drafted after playing at Ohio State, got drafted by the Blue Jays. And then Isaiah is a top prospect in class of 27. his little brother Gideon Snavely, who plays next to him and bats before him in the lineup as Snyder. He's also a top prospect in the class of 2029 as well. So a fun little, you know, family story that I wanted to get out this week as well for Indiana Prep. So having a lot of fun covering baseball too, man. I got one coming up on Grady Nelson, who's a first baseman outfielder from Warsaw. I got one coming out on him this week. He's going to Ole Miss to play college baseball. Mm-hmm. So tons of good stuff. I'm covering it all, man.
Yeah. You're doing a fantastic job, and follow him on Twitter at DC Hendricks. If you want to see more articles and stuff like that, where our show is being streamed live right now, give him a follow if you're not already following, to read up on some of those articles. I think you said Drake McClurg, he's going to A&M. So
that's right. Yep.
That'll do it here for the show. One final thing I do want to mention, the Trine softball team, a fantastic program up there at Angola. Coach Dankelson does an awesome job up there. He's really, really good. He's a great guy too. Got to know him personally. That they are moving on to the Supers in their tournament, wow. NCAA Division III. So they swept Loras yesterday to advance out of the regional into the super regional, a program that has won, you know, a national championship up there, a national championship type program up there. So if you want to see some high level softball, make sure you're following them as well, because they do a lot of really good things up there. They play some really good softball. So that'll do it here on the show this week, a jam-packed show where it's almost 12:30 here, so we've gone an hour and a half strong. If you've missed any of the show, go back and watch it. We'll also post the audio and some clips from the show on our social medias at Bryson DC. Make sure you follow us there to get all the updates. If you want to go back and hear our interview with Coach Kyle Gold from Taylor, it was a great interview to get the perspective on the Trojans as they head out to the NAI World Series out in Lewiston, Idaho, later on next week, and we'll give you an update on how they did on next week's show. And we got a lot of cool stuff coming down the pipeline. I know DC and I are going to try to get this show out on the road. So we've working behind the scenes on getting that. And as DC mentioned, we're trying to get some big time, high profile guests on the show as well. We are a part of the Get Indiana Podcast Network. Make sure you go over to getindiana.com, your destination for everything Indiana, from festivals and event blog posts, spotlighting hidden gems, local businesses, and small towns. Discover something new about the Hoosier State and be sure to subscribe to their weekly newsletter at the top of the page. You can find our show on there as well at getindiana.com. That's DC Hendricks. I'm Bryce Vance. Thank you so much for tuning here on a Sunday morning. See you next week.